Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, y'all, Summer's at Heaven is back. We're brought to you by Sports Drink. Bet you never thought Bailey Zappe and Skylar Thompson would be two of the first three quarterbacks to start from the 2022 NFL draft class. It is I, Rob Paul, a.k.a. the creator of hashtag wine for Will or hashtag BS for Anderson. And with me, as always, is AJ, Pete Carroll, and John Schneider are about to draft two people nobody has ever heard of in the top 10 this April, Marchese.
All right, well, you can't take shots right now, buddy. The class looks good. They're killing it, Rob. They're killing it.
Today, we're talking all the noteworthy NFL rookies from week 5 of the NFL season. Let's hit it.
Seven
rounds in heaven with my baby, driving out to KC maybe, looking for Stroud or a Bryce Young.
Who's gonna wear a Hawaiian shirt today?
Who's gonna put ketchup on a stick?
Who's gonna find a steal? In the fifth, the home team. Let's go seven rounds. Let's go seven rounds together. Let's go seven rounds forever. And that's a song.
Today's episode of Seven Rounds in Heaven is brought to you by Sports Drink, your digital water cooler. Sports Drink is a newly created internet community that tries to find the intersection of sports and not sports. They're here to help us grow and to hate your favorite team. A rising tide lifts all boats, so go check them out online or on social. Go to sportsdrink.org or open Instagram and type in @sportsdrink, spelled like sports drink without the vowels. All we ask is that you close the door behind you. We're trying not to let the funk out. Well, the funk's still in Pittsburgh because Matt Canada's still calling plays, AJ.
And he's killing it, I heard. This week, big quality loss.
Yeah, big time. That'll look good in the final AP poll. Kenny Pickett threw 52 passes in a blowout by the Bills. But hey, I think it's a little confusing. 34 of 52 for 327 yards, an interception, 6.2 per attempt, 65% completion percentage. Does that sound good to you on paper, or at least okay?
Sounds okay.
Well, let me tell you, he played better than those stats, AJ.
Oh, baby.
Been waiting for this one. Kenny Pickett's fun, and I don't know if I'm just blinded by the fact that he is so much better than Trubisky and so much more willing to push the ball beyond 6 yards. And obviously, the Steelers have talented receivers, and George Pickens has been unlocked since Pickett came in. And that continued. The interception was a pretty brutal throw. At this point, they were like down 31-3, so I didn't even care. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, they were immediately out of this game because the defense got torched. But Pickett, like, throughout the game, if you kind of ignore the score, I thought he played really well. The interception, which was by fellow rookie Kyir Elam, was on a honey hole shot that he just kind of threw late. But outside of that, so many of his balls were very catchable. He had a near interception where, this was early, he kind of rolled out. He threw across his body. Big no-no. But it was like Patrick Mahomes-esque. That's right. That's my comparison. But Deontay Johnson dropped it, and then it almost got intercepted. There's just stupid things like that. There were so many drops. I thought there was at least 5 drops. But plus side, there was multiple tight window throws. I thought his velocity was shockingly good. And he just kept, like, the pass rush was all over him. He kept extending plays. He navigates the pocket well. And he attacks outside the hashes really well. There was multiple kind of intermediate-level throws outside the hashes where they weren't all completed, but they were all catchable balls. And pretty much everything that goes over 10 yards is placed well enough to give his receivers a chance, and it's the fact that he's willing to make those throws and give his receivers a chance that gets me excited. And this is all with no running game. Like, Najee Harris had 20 yards. The play calling was horrendous. There were so many sprint outs. Like, I think Matt Canada called 6 sprint outs in this game.
That's Kenny's bread and butter, baby.
One play action pass. Like, they just don't do play action. They're in the gun so often. Which, like, it's like he's almost running the Ben Roethlisberger offense rusher. But with more sprint outs.
Well, they wanted to get Ben to do it, but he just won it.
There's not enough shots to pickings in 50-50 chance situations. Like, I think there was 2, and one Pickens made a great play, and the other was a catchable ball. I don't know. I thought overall, like, it was a very solid B performance from Pickett, and there's just so much bad on this in terms of play calling, offensive line play, and zero running game, that it's hard to evaluate exactly what type of player he is. I'm not trying to make excuses, but he is not the biggest problem with this offense at all.
That sounds like excuses. Can I ask you my big question of the night?
Oh, finally, AJ's big question.
If both Matt Canada and Kenny Pickett weren't at Pitt in their college days, if you will, do you think either of them would be Steelers right now?
Kenny Pickett wouldn't be.
But Matt Canada is, like, purely because he coached at Pitt in, like, 2016 or whatever it was?
Yeah, I don't know. Matt Canada is his career is so odd that he might still be the Steelers offensive coordinator. I'm convinced Kenny Pickett wouldn't have been drafted 20th if he didn't play at Pitt. But he's been pretty good. He showed more in this game than a lot of the rookie quarterbacks showed throughout last season.
It was rough last year.
And he reminds me a bit, the vibe I was getting was a bit Derek Carr-y.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's a realistic ceiling for him, I feel like.
Yeah. Like, he's obviously not Derek Carr yet, but I think you see flashes that could be that type of quarterback.
Fair enough. What type of glimpse did you get from Bailey Zappe, though?
Yeah, I don't know why you keep making me do both Pickett and Zappe.
You chose, first of all, obviously Pickett, because you're going to watch the Steelers. You chose Bailey Zappe. You chose him.
Let me do. I wanted Skyler.
I chose Skyler straight up. I'm like, I got to take him in. Out of respect to everyone involved.
So Bailey Zappe was, so he went 17 of 21 for 188, a score, a pick, 8.9 per attempt, 80.9% completion percentage.
Love it.
It was, especially after taking the Packers to OT, this was a very promising performance. I thought he was better in this game than he was against the Packers. And it was against the Lions, but they obviously him like being able to prepare as the starter leading into the week was a huge boost. The interception also was just off Nelson Aguilar's hands, so it wasn't his fault at all. The TD to Jacoby Myers was a vertical outside the hashes throw that he placed perfectly before the safety could get there. And for the most part, he just was, like, I think they purposefully played him in gun a lot more, obviously coming from that Zach Kittley area at Western Kentucky. And he saw the field really well. He moved well in the pocket. And he just kind of thrived on those short to intermediate throws, especially over the middle. And he had the boost of their offensive line played incredibly. Like, he was rarely under pressure. And when he was, he navigated the pocket really well. And Ramondre Stevenson at 161 yards.
Mm-hmm.
And he was sacked 0 times. Like, it was exactly what you want out of your backup quarterback. I think he is, like, I know Cooper Rush is getting all this weird hype. Like, he's a better than Cooper Rush. I'll say it.
Do you bench McCorkle?
No. But
Boo.
But Bailey Zappi, through two games, one start, looks like upper echelon type of NFL backup quarterback. Especially when he has the week to prepare as the starter, and the game plan is built around knowing what you've got in Zappi and leaning on strong offensive line play and a great running game.
Like, the Lions have not been bad this year, and they absolutely got dismantled by the Pats.
But their defense has been horrific.
Oh, it's terrible. It's terrible, yeah.
Their offense, like, Jared Goff was just in hell. Like Belichick just put Jared Goff through hell.
Not the first time, baby. Go Pats.
And so that helped too, right? They took an early lead. They leaned on the running game, just kind of layup type throws. But again, he just did everything he needed to do to win. The interception was not on him. This was a very promising Bailey Zappi game too.
You know who didn't get the week to get prepared to start this one, Rob?
The Sky Guy,
baby. Pretty much played the entire game, though, because Teddy got hurt on, like, the, I think it was the first snap. I don't know. 19-33, 166 yards, a pick, no touchdown. Not that exciting. I don't know. One thing I will say, he wasn't afraid to sling it at times. And, like, every time he did it, he got pass interference. It was sick. Like, the first time on the first drive, it was a 3rd-and-1, and they're like, yeah, huck it, baby. And he just chucks it down to Tyreek Hill. And he, like, just stopped. Like, I don't know if the throw would have been good or not, because Tyreek Hill just, like, stopped, like, 3 yards short of the ball. And, like, actually Sauce was in coverage. And, like, Sauce just stopped with him, and they called pass interference. It was very dumb.
Sick.
It was really dumb. They got another – he got PI on, like, three or four deep throws. And this was, like, his only – actually, sorry, he didn't connect on one to Cedric Wilson. That's it. He had, like, a really wonky play where he was, like, running around the pocket like a chicken with its head cut off and, like, just tossed, like, a weird one over the middle. It was so strange, and Waddle made, like, a nice catch. Probably really lucky it wasn't picked. And then finally did get picked, Sauce. His elbow just got hit, and it just hung, and Sauce snagged it. More on Sauce later. Had another one that, like, probably should have been picked right before half. Just hung up too long, and then Tyreek snagged it from Reed. And then his next throw went off the defender's hands. But, like, funny enough, he actually had those, like, I think they were, like, back-to-back. And then his next two throws were maybe his best of the day. Just, like, got into the red zone, nice timing on an over, and then, like, a quick throw to the running back, almost scored. They punched that in. Like, I don't know. And then, like, you know what's weird? So, you know the final score is 40-17. I didn't watch this game live. Miami, like, just missed a field goal in the fourth quarter that would have given them a lead, and they lost 40-17. It just like all fell apart from there. He got strip sacked. Like, it was kind of ugly. He really struggled feeling pressure. I felt like just pocket presence is not very strong right now. Fumbled on one. It was weird. He's like just trying to throw it. I don't know. It was kind of ugly. But like most of the time it was just like little quick hitters and screens. It was really boring. Hit Gesicki on the seam, which was probably his best throw in garbage time. I don't know. Not too much to write home about. The weird preseason hype probably isn't going to amount to anything more than, you know, a QB2-3 at best for Skylar Thompson. But if he has a full week to prepare, if you know, Teddy is out still and Tua is obviously missing this week again, maybe we'll see something a little bit more. I don't know. It was boring, though.
Do you think, final question before we stop talking about stinky quarterbacks, do you think he will amount to being a solid quarterback too? I know it's based off one game where he was not prepared to play, but
I don't know. Like, I feel like there's enough to hang in the league. I would like to see him use his legs more. He scrambled one time on a 3rd-and-10 and picked it up, but it came back on a hold. Other than that, like, he was just kind of like standing in the pocket too long. I don't know. I think that he wasn't terrible. He had more poise, even though he's taking those sacks. It was almost like too much poise. I don't know. It was weird. I mean, maybe. Maybe is my answer.
And that concludes the quarterback rookie rundown presented by the Space Academy. Moving on to rookies of the week presented by Temple Tough. AJ, you're going to have deja vu with my picks.
Rob, come on, man.
I swear to God, I'm not mailing it in. I swear to God. Just
copying and pasting from last week.
Basically, I was like, I don't want to watch any NFL this week. Only G5 college football for me. My offensive rookie of the week is Damian Pierce for the second straight week. On paper, not the most incredible outing. 26 carries, 99 yards. a touchdown, 3 grabs, 14 yards. So averaging under 4 a carry, but it was a ugly, ugly game that the Texans pulled out 13-6 thanks to a touchdown from Pierce. And he's the best player on this offense that doesn't play offensive line. He is the best. He's one of the 5 best players on this team, I think. And it felt like every carry, when he wasn't running behind Kenyon Green and Laremy Tunsil, every carry to the right side, he was getting hit at the line of scrimmage, breaking a tackle, fighting for more yards. There was a couple, like, just holy shit type of runs. There was one where he broke, like, 3 tackles. I don't know how he stayed balanced. He almost scored, and it's what set up his touchdown run, which took 3 straight carries at the goal line. On the first 2, he broke, like, a combined 4 tackles, but was still short. And then on the 3rd one, he finally punched it in. He's currently 2nd in the NFL in forced missed tackles behind just Nick Chubb. And he's just such a violent and aggressive runner. It felt like every time he touched the ball, he's breaking tackle. He's also very decisive. And I don't know, he just looks like kind of that bell cow that they need him to be. He's fully taken on that RB1 role, and he's the reason they won this game. Because without him, their offense generates no points.
It feels like he's going to be the face of the franchise pretty soon, if not already. You know what I mean?
Like, honestly, like, he... If you were to sit down and say, who are the 5... The Texans roster is disgustingly bad, right? Like, on paper to me, the Jaguars are far more talented. If you go through their offense, or their entire team... Like, Laremy Tunsil's the best player on this team. Honestly, there's an argument to say, is Damian Pierce the 2nd best player on this team already?
I'd probably not argue with you. And then Cook's 3rd.
Yeah, and like, 4th might be Jerry Hughes. Like, you know what I mean? Jalen Petrie, even.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Damian Pierce is quickly... And Damian Pierce, I don't know if you heard him post-game talking about the touchdown... Like, Damian Pierce is just the type of... He almost reminded me of Frank Gore in his demeanor.
I love it.
Yeah. And playing style, he's Marion Barber, too, so...
guess what, Rob?
What?
Good guess. Wrong. You had the 2nd best rookie running back this week because...
Kenneth Walker.
Breece Hall, baby. Kenneth Walker, 3rd. Breece Hall, baby. Breece Hall was a monster... against the old mighty Finns that were once mighty, but not anymore. Had 97 yards on the ground on 18 carries and a touchdown, and had 2 catches for 100 yards even. His first catch was 79 yards. It was a hell of a play. Like, they had both a good design. They had both Carter and Hall in the backfield. They ran the play action to Carter, and Hall just ran the wheel. It was wide open, but like, he only caught like 15 yards downfield. And then the rest was just all yak. Like, lots of room to run, sure, but like... He was just a fucking load to bring down. Like, he dragged his last guy like 15 yards. He was hanging on for dear life, and he brought him down like a yard short of scoring. That sucked. I wish he got in. And the 2nd one, too. Other grab was for 21, and like, later in the game. But Wilson just like threw it on him quick. It was a great grab kind of behind him. Didn't lose stride. Made a couple guys miss. And again, was brought down inside the 1. So like, he could have easily had 2 receiving touchdowns, but they're for 100 yards total, so that's all good. As a pure runner, he looked really impressive, man. He was like, I really loved his patience in this game. Good vision, was making guys miss every single carry. The contact balance that he always has looked great. He looked like Iowa State Breece, and like, every run was a positive. It was a very, very complete performance. Actually, you called Damian Pierce Marion Barber. You know what I got from this Breece Hall performance was like
Thomas Jones.
No, shades of Le'Veon Bell. It felt like Le'Veon Bell. I don't know why. Just the way he ran, the way he was just keeping guys at bay. You know, like, Bell was always really good at like just not letting guys get near him. You know, and like and the patience. And I just felt like that. Plus the pass catching ability. Like when a play. Sorry, go ahead. Yeah.
I was just going to say, was this the performance he needed to usurp Michael Carter for truly being the RB1?
You know what's funny? The first, like, I think 3 carries of the game went to Michael Carter, and, like, he still took a little bit to come in. And then, like, they went to him. And so maybe, because they also leaned on him, too, to finish the game, and he looked really good there. I don't know, like a play would be blocked for 3 yards. He'd get like still 5 yards before contact because he's just doing a good job. Then another 4 yards like after contact, like just that type of day. And like he finally got his TD at the end. They tossed it to him. He just found the lane and like reached for the end zone while getting face masked. It was cool. I hope so. Michael Carter's really good too, though. Like Carter scored 2 touchdowns. He finished both of those receptions that didn't get in. I hope so. But they have a dynamic duo for sure.
So again, AJ.
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, before I move on, the rookie running backs starting to really come on.
They are.
Just like John Reese Plumlee's coming on against Temple right now.
Yeah.
My defensive rookie of the week is also a repeat. I went with Jack Jones again.
Oh my God, man! Come on. No, I'm just kidding. He was deserving.
Colin Coward says, "Work smarter, not harder." So, yeah, I didn't have like a dominant type of performance, and Jack Jones wasn't as good as the previous week, but he was still very good. And in a blowout of the Lions, he made a very key play where I don't know if you saw the sideline interception. First quarter, Pats are only up 3-0. Lions are marching down the field.
Yeah,
Jones is covering the inside post, and they have T.J. Hockenson kind of like sneaking on a wheel route underneath that, and he just keeps his eyes on Goff, reads him, picks it off, toe tap on the sideline for the interception. That kind of, once that happened, the Pats went down, scored. It just, the Lions just felt frazzled the rest of the game. So it was a very, if you believe in momentum, a very momentous type play.
I do.
He ended up allowing 4 catches for 60 yards. Some of that was in garbage time. He had another pass breakup. But it's just, I think the read and react, the foot speed, the ball skills, it's all showing up. And he has become like the perfect J.C. Jackson replacement, both in terms of the ball hawking skills and kind of the undersized playing much bigger than he is, just ridiculous, like click and close type feet. He's been one of the best corners in the NFL.
Unfortunately, just the second best rookie corner this week, Rob. I'm sorry. Sauce Gardner is my defense rookie of the week. It started immediately. Remember I said Teddy got hurt on the first snap of the game? It was because of Sauce. He blitzed. Just came screaming down. They had a PA on. It was in the end zone, and the ball just kind of came out when he hit him, and it was almost a sack, strip sack fumble, but instead it was ruled grounding, so safety for Sauce. It was pretty awesome. That was the only time they did in the game, but it was perfectly timed. And like I said, he got called for that shitty pass interference, but I don't even care. And then he finally got his interception, where, like I said, Thompson just had his arm hit as he threw. The ball hung up. Sauce jumped it. Easy money. I don't know. He's just so fucking so good already. He's been as good as the Jets could have hoped for. I think the whole game he gave up like just one catch and it was like a waddle slant. I didn't check any official stats, but just by the eye. I mean, it was Skylar Thompson, but he's just so good. He already has an alpha dog cornerback one mentality, and now like the plays are coming together too. He's making lots of plays. He's everything they could have hoped for. I think that's all you can say.
The Jets rookies as a whole have been a big part of the reason they have a winning record right now.
Yeah.
And he had kind of a bit of an up and down week one, but since then he's been awesome.
Yeah.
And he's, I think, clearly been the second best rookie corner so far after Jack Jones. And given that Robert Saleh is the head coach and they want to be a defensive-minded football team, getting that kind of alpha at corner was so important, because like last year they were playing like guys who wouldn't sniff the 2 deep on other rosters.
Yeah, it was fun.
And now they've got a guy with potential number one Pro Bowl corner ability.
Yeah, it's such a crazy flip going from, you know, Michael Carter's not playing bad, but like, you know, lots of Michael Carter, the DB, and lots of like who, Brandon Eichels, and a lot of these guys are just, yeah, they probably shouldn't be on the field. And now Sauce is a stud.
And speaking of studs, the Colts could have used one left tackle on Thursday Night Football, and maybe AJ,
yeah,
your professional opinion, have you watched a worse? Well, let's just say leave it to primetime. A worse primetime game than the Colts-Broncos this past Thursday?
It fucking sucked. But as someone who, you know, is vehemently cheering against the Broncos here, the end was pretty great.
I now want to know, how did you curse Bernard Ryman like that?
Okay, look, so we recorded minutes before that game started. I didn't even know he was starting when I put him for Start the Rook. I was so excited when I saw he was starting, and he got the W. That's all that matters. Let's move on. fuck yeah. That might have been terrible.
The worst performance I've ever seen from a pair of tackles. Him and Matt Pryor were just put to shame.
Look, I didn't say start him at left tackle, move Matt Pryor to right tackle, move Braden Smith inside. Like, that didn't make any fucking sense. That cannot help, like, throwing a rookie in there without any continuity. But
I don't understand the kicking Braden Smith inside.
Because it's not like, it's like, you know, Pryor, you look pretty good at left tackle. Let's move you over to right and give this Raymond kid a shot. It was so stupid. And it was immediately him just getting his ass kicked over and over and over and over and over again.
Bradley Chubb, Baron Browning, and fellow rookie Nick Bonita.
Yeah.
All just went bananas against them. Ryman's hand placement was horrific. It felt like he was a step slow out of his stance half the time. He just didn't have the play strength either to handle a grown-ass man like Bradley Chubb. Meanwhile, on the other side, Baron Browning, like, Ryman wasn't giving up sacks because Baron Browning was beating Matt Pryor so fast.
Yeah. Who's better, though? Is Ryman better than Pryor?
I don't know. There's more reason to play Ryman. Ryman's definitely a better tight end than Pryor.
I'm going to start the rook hold. Held. Speaking of held up, Ryman had, what, like three holding penalties, and they're like, just kept mounting and mounting.
Yeah, it was three.
Didn't he even, like, officially give up a sack, though? Like, I don't think he did. Like, officially, okay, officially.
What, are you trying to be like, oh, he actually did?
Yeah, look, no. Sack.
If you look at it closely, it was pretty good.
I'm just saying, that's how terrible the rest of the line was.
It felt like Baron Browning was beating Matt Pryor literally every snap, yeah. So.
I know he gave up, like, the one, Chubb just wrecked him on one snap right before half, but, like, Josie Jewell finished it, and, like, I don't know. And he was also not looking good in the run at all either, so, like, no sustain.
in his defense, their top two running backs were out, actually, so.
They were.
Cut the kid a break.
Neon Dion looks good, though. I picked him up in fantasy, deep stash.
Okay, cool. Primetime start. I'm going to go back to that game.
Yeah, me too.
The other Colts rookie you talked about, Rodney Thomas, last week.
Yeah.
Showed up. He played every snap. He had, obviously, it was a gimme interception, but he also had the pass break.
That PBU was great.
Good. Yeah, he looked good back there playing single high. And yeah, the PBU, like, legit showed off his range and instincts to go make a play at coverage.
Yeah, I didn't put him for primetime star. I put him for best day three rookie. But he can split the spotlight with his other team in Alec Pierce. I kind of put them both, you know. But yeah, man, like so last week they just had him over the top all game and it meant nothing. And this week it was, I mean, obviously that's Russ's, you know, moonshot game. But like that was great. Flash that range to get over on that Judy one. Timed it so perfect. Nearly picked it off. It was a great play. And then he had the fucking other one where he was in position to make the play with stupid Montrell Washington and who was it? Judy or Sutton. Just like in the same location. And then ref just takes him out. I think he would have had another PBU, if not interception, on that play. And then he had the arm punt interception and a good return. Yeah, he played really good. He looked really good. It just like it didn't make sense for last week's game plan, but or the week before his game plan. But against, you know, that team that just likes to take shots and that's all Russ can do right now, it worked. I gave it to Pierce because I figured you're going Thomas. And I think he deserved, like, a day three rookie. So, Pierce is kind of fun, man. He's fun. He only makes, like, really weird catches. Like, he's been really entertaining. And he's just, like, you see the ability. He's really good, surprisingly good. I thought his hands were a little on tape last year. But, like, the amount of catches he's been making, like, away from his frame. Or like, you know, like down on the ground, like away from him, like off the grass. Like it's been really impressive. And he was probably the best offensive player in the game, period. Not saying much in that game, but still. Even like Pittman's been really blah and like Pierce has stepped up the last couple weeks.
Yeah, I mean, it's an offense that is really hard to watch.
Yeah.
With how bad the offensive line is.
Yep.
And obviously when Jonathan Taylor's out and Matt Ryan is a just an old man at this point. Alec Pierce was a complete. Like, the Colts don't win this game without Alec
Pierce. Exactly. Exactly.
They also don't win it without Rodney Thomas.
Yep. Mm-hmm. They both deserved it.
I also just want to shout out, I thought Nick Bonito played really well.
He did.
I think he had four pressures in this game.
I put him for flashed.
Yeah, it was like the Colts tackles were more of the issue because every Broncos pass rusher flashed, but it was nice. Also, I don't know if you... Did you put Kayvon Thibodeau anywhere?
No, I didn't.
Just because last week we had our primetime star, but we also had a London primetime star. I gave him the London primetime.
That's good, yeah.
Star tag this week. Because he had four pressures against the Packers, two pass breakups. Like,
the one went off his face.
Yeah, and that counts.
That was a good play.
He's starting to come on.
Yeah. You
can see it.
Yeah.
And the Giants seems really weird and interesting, and their defense is really just fun behind Wink Martindale. And Thibodeau's shown more pass rush chops than the other two pass rushers who went top 10.
Yeah, I don't disagree. Like I said last week, he was underwhelming, but I felt like it was coming. And this again, wasn't like some big flashy, but you could feel him. And there's a couple times when he flushed Rodgers, and like, or when Rodgers was kind of out of the pocket, he was right in his face. Yeah, he definitely played a good game.
Speaking of good games, tell me someone who underwhelmed you and didn't play a good
game. I didn't have like anyone that's like, oh, wow, I really expected more. So I kind of just went with the Falcons offensive rookies, London and Algier. It wasn't London playing poorly, only at four catches, 35 yards, but like they just didn't get him involved. And it, like when they did, it was kind of late in the game. And like the game was up for grabs until the refs robbed the Falcons too. He had like a really low-key, like sweet one-headed catch. It was just like really like nonchalant going to the sideline. But other than that, like nothing to get really excited for. And like on Algier, like, this is first like real run, and like I thought he looked okay, but like no big plays. He got 17 on one carry. He only had 45 total on 13 carries, so like a meh average there. A decent chunk of negative carries too, I felt like. But like the line is really bad, right? But like when he was just getting north and south and he had that lane to hit, like I thought he looked pretty decent, and like that's what he kinda like, you know, brings to the table. But I don't know. Just like I was tuning into this game hoping to see seeing a couple rookies ball, and they just didn't.
I'll kind of combo two guys here who didn't play horribly or anything, but it was underwhelming just because of where they were drafted and the game Kayvon Thibodeau started the day with. Aiden Hutchinson and Trevon Walker, just in terms of pass rush, it was underwhelming. Mm-hmm. I actually thought this was the best game I've seen Aiden Hutchinson play.
I saw people saying that, yeah.
He looked pretty solid against the run. He had a pressure, but Bailey Zappe literally made a miss and ran for 7 yards.
That's sick.
But it's just like the lack of pass rush with him is kind of scary because he's supposed to be kind of the ready-made. Like, Kayvon Thibodeau is the high upside pass rusher. Mm-hmm. Trevon Walker's the run defender who you've got to teach him to pass rush. And Aiden Hutchinson's the guy who you feel good will get you 8 to 10 sacks every year. Mm-hmm. And it's just there's been such little pass rush with him. That's concerning him with Walker. It's the same thing. A lot of the time, it was cool. They'd line up Josh Allen against the Texans. They'd line up Josh Allen over the right tackle and Trevon Walker over the right guard.
That's scary.
And the Texans' right side of the offensive line is not the good side of their offensive line. And Walker just didn't have a lot going. It kind of just felt like he was leaning on his power and athleticism to just kind of bully, and it wasn't working. It's just you need to see him kind of develop a go-to pass rush move. Like, he's got the length, he's got heavy hands when he uses them. It's just I feel like he's not comfortable leaning on a go-to move right now.
Was week one clearly his best game so far?
I think so.
Yeah, I think
so. He was fine against the run, but if you're not being Jordan Davis against the run and you're not adding pass, it's just,
yeah.
And you're the number one pick.
Yeah.
Him and Hutchinson just need to generate pass rush.
Yeah, they do.
On a more positive note, I'm going to just jump right in and do my looks like a hit, because it's a hit for us both, AJ.
Let's hear it.
Maybe even more so for you. And I know you were sad you didn't get to do the Bills-Steelers game, because you wanted to see Khalil Shakir in a big role.
Oh yeah,
and your guy Gabe Davis finally the hype too. It was the AJ Bills receivers game. But yeah, Shakir 3 catches, 75 yards and a touchdown. He made that one incredible catch where kind of Josh Allen put it down the seam to him with mm-hmm. two defenders right on him, but through kind of back shoulder, and Shakir just went up. Like, Allen trusted Shakir to go up and make a play because he put it where only Shakir could get it.
Look, could not get that. That's Josh Allen, you know, thrown on late Saturday nights last year. He watches the Mountain West, you know. He knows what Shakir can do.
And then the touchdown, Josh Allen kind of over or under threw it a little bit. Shakir kind of hung up in the air waiting for it, dropped into his hands, walked in for the touchdown. It was against Josh Jackson wearing the number goat. 16 at the corner. Goat. It was gross. But, yeah, like those two plays, obviously the Bills blew them out, but those two plays were so promising. He also had to drop, but he looked like a very competent wide receiver 3 to Stephon Diggs and Gabe Davis.
I love that so much. I love Shakir. I'm so glad. Like, I know it's because of, like, you know, McKenzie being out, but I'm so glad he got the shot.
I still can't believe. What did he fall to the fifth round?
Fifth, yeah.
No idea how that happened.
I don't know either. And of course, they let him get to the Bills too. League's so dumb.
The perfect team.
Yeah, for real. The Mountain West connection, as we'll know it forevermore. Okay, so my guy is a guy we've been dogging on for a few weeks. But ladies and gentlemen, I think Icky's back. I think Icky is back. Finally looks like the guy like we thought he was. And pass protection, like, looked solid. No worries with me this week. Just, like, overall, I thought much more competitive. I like that word. Like, the recovery was looking, like, you know, his recovery game looked good. Was called for a hold. Like, he wasn't perfect. But, like, just was way better and just looked way more comfortable and like I said, fighting out there. Had a really, like, good block on, like, a Fred Warner, like, out on a screen. It didn't finish him or anything, but looked good. But, like, where he really shined, he looked like his old self in the run game. Just bullying the Niners. Bullied them. Like, multiple pancake blocks, washing guys down the line, finishing through the whistle. I tweeted that clip out, just fucking, I think it was Kemiko Ture. He's just, like, throwing him around. The big dog is back. I love that. It feels like it's starting to click. Yeah.
Do you think he was motivated by the fact he knew Matt Rhule was finally being fired, so life could be a little bit better?
I mean, Matt Rhule's the king of, like, shitting on tackles too, so maybe, I don't know. Like, to me, I just think, like, it's starting to click. He's getting his bearings. He's getting confident. Now, it wasn't like, you know, Bosa got hurt early in the game, so it's not like it was, like, you know, a lot of Bosa, and he was, like, showing up against Nick Bosa, but it's still a good Niners front, and I thought that was, like, honestly, if Brees didn't have such a great game, he was going to be an offensive rookie of the week.
Damn. Okay. Oh, wow. UCF, big touchdown coming. Oh, is the running back going to get caught, AJ? He got caught. That sucks. He got caught,
yeah.
Okay. This, I don't feel good about this because this player is not a good human being. But my miss is Sam Williams, the Cowboys edge, who has horrific off-field, and that needs to be noted, I think, pretty much every time you talk about him. He played really well against the Rams. Did you watch this game?
Not really, no.
Okay, so he had a big TFL at the start of the second quarter where he just kind of shot a gap, beat fellow horrible human being Tyler Higbee for to swallow up Akers in the backfield, and it just, like, so explosive out of his stance. Also had a batted ball, a couple pressures, another run stop. He played 38% of the snaps, but they were really high quality. And just, he is such a freaky athlete, and it's translating immediately to on-field production, especially when he's the third rusher, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the fact that he can take Michael Parsons off the field and put this type of athlete in, it's terrifying that Dan Quinn's doing such a good job deploying these guys. And the defense is the reason the Cowboys are playing so well.
Yeah, it definitely is.
And I think I had Sam Williams just outside my top 100. I might have been blinded by how horrible a person he is.
I think it's hard not to be, right?
And he is living up to where he was drafted.
Yeah, and I think we both thought, I don't know, I think we both thought, like, it was an overdraft based on ability too, though, right?
Like, I thought he was so much more raw as a, because there were times at Ole Miss where you just get kind of, like, ragdolled in the run game. And, like, the athleticism was always obvious, the pass rush upside that comes with that, but There's also, like, I thought a lack of plan and just lack of effort against the run game, and it's not been the case with the Cowboys.
Yeah, no, I just checked. I had him 105 as well, so. Speaking of guys that I had late, my miss is Braxton Jones. Braxton Jones has been so, so good. I had him 182. That was like early fifth, late fifth, early sixth grade. He went 168. I liked, you know, like the developmental potential, but like I thought he'd be a disaster seeing him start this early. And he hasn't been at all. He hasn't been at all. Like against Minnesota, like the pass pro, like it wasn't perfect. He gave up a couple pressures. But, like overall, like clean, you know, using that length, using that frame. Not a worry out there. And he's actually been like, he actually looked good in the run. Like solid in the run. And he looks like a starting NFL left tackle, which frankly is pretty remarkable to me. Like a guy that, you know, is on a bad offense, getting thrown in late, you know, fifth round pick. I thought he was going to be just out of, you know, small school, Southern Utah. I thought he was going to be a disaster. And he's been really good. He's been really good.
Yeah, he's been... I mean, he's been better than Evan Neal.
He has been better than Evan Neal, exactly. He's been better than Icky up until this week.
Yep. Speaking of tackles, Mike needs to step it up. After a very, very out of nowhere, borderline dominant first start at left tackle for the Chargers, Jamari Sailor kind of came back down to earth a little bit in this one. More so in the... And again, he was dealing with Myles Garrett. Myles Garrett, anytime he like lined up against Sellier, was winning. With a lesser quarterback than Justin Herbert, a couple sacks would have been given up. I think he gave up maybe four or five pressures to Garrett. He just needs to step it up in terms, like he played pretty well, given the circumstances, and it was just Myles Garrett's all pro.
Yeah.
But he's gonna have to handle these types of players down the stretch for this team to make the playoffs with Rashawn Slater at left tackle. And again, in the context of where he was drafted, it was a pretty good game. Yeah. He looked good against the run, but it was just like Myles Garrett was eating his lunch, which is not shocking.
Yeah. I kind of have a similar one, and mine is a twofer. I put Kyler Gordon in here, like, because I only know that he's going to step it up. You know what I mean? Like, he's not playing bad. He had a tough matchup in Justin Jefferson. He gave him the business pretty good. But like he didn't give up like any big plays, and he made a really nice play blocking the field goal. Looks like you know, textbook field goal jump out of Madden. Looked pretty solid against the run, solid tackling. You know, made some good plays coming forward. End up with 10 tackles, which, you know, is never a good sign for a DB. But honestly, they really need him to step up, because opposite of him, they're starting Jalen Jones, who's a UDFA rookie out of Ole Miss. And he might have had one of the worst DB performances I've ever seen. Just like, looked like he did not belong. The first quarter, they just alternated Justin Jefferson between Gordon and Jones. And, oh man, just like everything that was in his direction, he gave up. Missed a bunch of tackles. It didn't look like he belonged athletically. He had 14 tackles. But yeah, so I think when you got that going on, and like Brisker's been solid, but... the Bears D is, I don't know, okay, I guess. But, like, they need Gordon, and he's just giving up a bit too much right now. But I think he's going to turn it around because he's got the goods.
I'll give you another twofer for not ready to play.
Me too.
Alex Wright and Perrion Winfrey on the Browns defensive line. They played a lot. Specifically, Winfrey played 48% of the snaps. He had a PBU and a pressure, but... Part of the reason Austin Eckler ran wild was he was just kind of getting moved around by the interior of that Chargers offensive line. Alex Wright just didn't really bring anything as a pass rusher. When he was lined up against Sailor, Sailor looked really good.
Mm.
But yeah, those two were just playing a lot for one guy who was bringing nothing as a pass rusher and the other who's getting moved in the run game.
I am going to primetime and with a duo of my own. Put Jalen Watson and Brian Cook. I think first because they were in coverage on that massive Devontae Adams touchdown where, you know, Adams threw up the hand. And I don't know, Cook hasn't been great in his limited playing time, I thought, at all. He only played 17% snaps in this one. Watson's playing a lot more, and he's been good for a seventh-round pick. Like, I'm not trying to dog him here. But like, I felt like this game he had a bit more hiccups. Like, he looked more like
back
a,
down to earth
a yeah, he looked more like a seventh-round rookie. They went after him quite a lot, and like he gave up that big one. Had a pass interference in the end zone, too. Just... Go ahead, yeah.
Good news for them is Trent McDuffie's practicing this week.
Like, I'd like to hear that, for
and,
sure.
And, like, when you think about it in the context of Jalen Watson had some nice ups, some yep. obvious downs for a seventh-round rookie, that's just some nice experience and added depth.
Absolutely, and he won them a game with the pick six. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he was good. He's been good. It's just like, and guess what? He didn't cost him this one either. So, almost, but he didn't. So, it's all good.
You'd love to see it. Best day three rookies, got to shout out Daniel Bellinger for having a rushing touchdown against the Packers in London.
You know,
ultimate weapon.
I didn't have a good out of nowhere, so I put Bellinger out of nowhere just because how they used him. The ultimate weapon, like he just said.
22 yards as a receiver, but the 2-yard touchdown run was sick.
It was sick.
Brian Daboll truly in his bag when he's running. it was a double reverse, wasn't it? Like a pass play.
Yeah.
It was like a Philly special-esque.
He's been so fun. He's actually good. Yeah.
It was more like a Royal Family special, am I right? Sir Daniel Bellinger.
That's got a good ring to it.
Thank you. He scrambled it in for the touchdown. Freaking sick. I also put Pepe Williams, the Ravens' fourth-round corner out of Houston, who played a ton at nickel against the Bengals, 75% of the snaps, had a sweet TFL, just really physical, feisty-ass mm-hmm. player.
He's just been so inconsistent.
Yeah, he's just playing a lot, though.
I think last week he, like, didn't play at all. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think he didn't play much.
But I remember, what was it, week one you were talking about?
Two. Yeah, they threw him, yeah, a lot. Him and Armour Davis.
So weird.
It is weird. Speaking of corners, so I put Rodney Thomas here, too, but Tariq Woolen is so fucking good. Had another interception this week against the Saints. Just like, you know, it was a comeback, stopped on the dime, closed back down quick, used that huge length in the ball skills and snagged it from Traquan on a little comebacker. Recovered a fumble, too. He didn't give up, like anything, like, much, really. And he's, like, I think he's been the best day three rookie, period. Damon Pierce, number two.
I was going to ask you, because I don't watch the Seahawks games, because you always do.
Yeah.
It's not just he's making these big splashy game plays. He's, like, actually playing at a high level, even if you're...
I think so. At first, it was, like, you know, the splashy plays and a bit of, you know, like, up-and-downness. But I think it's coming. It's all coming together for Woolen. I mean, you don't make this... Like, he's not giving up much. And you don't make the splashy plays, you know, unless you're Trevon Diggs and not be, you know, good in coverage, too.
Wow. I'm so happy for you.
I think we should both be happy. I don't know why he fell. I really don't.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting take, AJ. You don't know why the 6'4 corner ran a 4.26 and had good enough tape to go earlier than he went? Fell.
NFL broken.
Best UDFA rookie. I got three.
Ooh, rich with UDFAs this week.
Well, Jalen Warren came in garbage time and...
He's the best.
Garbage time king, 24 yards on the ground, 39 as a receiver. He's just a ball of fire. Najee Harris is almost too patient and then bounces everything. Jalen Warren just hits everything as hard as he can straight forward.
Yeah.
And I do think, like, Najee Harris hasn't been very good. I do think Jalen Warren deserves more real playing time.
Yeah.
Part of the reason Damian Pierce had a great day, his fullback's pretty good. His fullback who played edge rusher at Central Michigan. Troy Harrison's a good fullback. He also made a special teams tackle.
Nice.
And then my final one is De'Anthony Bell, strictly because he had a huge... He blew the fuck up someone on a return on the Chargers. And I was like, who is this guy? That's not David Bell. And he's wearing number 37. Who is this? I googled De'Anthony Bell, and this guy played at, like, 5 colleges. He's a 25-year-old rookie.
Love that.
So... 25-year-old rookie from Georgia who spent a year at Albany State, a year at Iowa Central Community College, a year out of football, a year at Butler Community College, and then 3 years at West Florida.
That's actually crazy to have that journey and end up in the NFL.
And he made the Browns 53-man roster immediately.
That's pretty cool.
Like he didn't just get signed for this week. Like he made it coming out of camp.
That's pretty damn cool.
And he's played in every game on special teams.
That's, I love that. That's cool. No, I'm getting the jersey. If I knew someone that was in Cleveland this weekend, I would have got them to get me his jersey.
I just need to know more about his journey because there's just like nothing anywhere.
Don't know anything about him. No, I know. I got a UD. Honestly, I mean, Kader Koho's been playing a lot. He's been playing well. But when I put best UDFA, it's really just like, oh, who's the new UDFA that I saw this week? And this week's, I don't know if you remember him, Sam Okeyanu, I can't say his name, out of Maryland, the edge rusher, 6'1", 270, had half a sack against Washington's terrible line. It was really just a cleanup, but like played a decent amount out there, so I wanted to give him the shout-out, really out of nowhere.
Love that. It's more fun when the UDF is like someone you didn't even think was going to make
it. Yeah, exactly.
Okay, rookies who flash, I have a couple. Kyrie Elam, who had that interception I mentioned earlier. Mm-hmm. Just pretty good game and coverage in general. DeMarvin Leal, same game. Two PBUs. Ooh. DeMarvin Leal brings a little bit of juice pass rush-wise.
I like that.
And I just want... He played 41% of the snaps, and I just want to see him play more because this season's lost anyway. George Pickens, yet again, just... He wins 50-50 balls. He is just such good body control and flexibility for a big receiver. 83 yards, and Pickett and him seem to be on the same page.
That's good.
Jordan Davis, just a menace against the run. Two run stops, 42% of the snaps against the Cardinals. You cannot run on him. And Martin Emerson, the Browns corner. Every time I watch the Browns, like, he's playing pretty good football.
Mm-hmm.
He had a big PBU and another play that is technically not a PBU, but it was an incompletion because he hit the guy.
Sick. actually, like, he's not my top guy, but like I feel like kind of the same about Roger McCreary. Like, he's been good. Like, he had a similar play where, like, on a trail to Curtis Samuel, like on a crosser, like just stuck in his hip pocket and like forced the incompletion, not a PBU again, like similar situation. Just, I think he looked good, like tight end coverage, like for most of the game against Washington. So I threw his name here. I threw Nick Benito here. But really my two highlight guys were Chris Olave, who was great again. Like, he four catches, 54 yards, a touchdown. Just feels like so polished already, and he's got like such a great feel. Like, had a couple plays where he just like finding the soft spot, getting open. He scored a touchdown, but unfortunately got hurt on it by Kobe Bryant, who just like ripped him down, trying to force the incompletion, whipped him like head first into the ground. So hopefully he comes back healthy, but yeah, kind of scary, but played a great game. And on the flip side, this is where I put Kenneth Walker, 69 yard touchdown run. He's the best player in the league. He's going to run for 2,000 yards the rest of the season.
That touchdown reminded me of when he gashed Michigan last year.
It did. That's what I said. It's nice watching him do this when it's not against Michigan. Saved Mel Tucker. Mel Tucker owes him $84 million. But anyways, what a cutback. The juice just a run away from everyone. I'm so sad that Penny got hurt. He's been so good. But like I'm excited for the KW9 show. And we got two more. One more. Cade Otton has been really solid. And in this game against the Falcons, like, it just felt like he was like Brady's safety blanket. I had six catches for 43 yards, which I thought was cool. And last one, Velus Jones, first game, baby. Had a touchdown. That's it, though. That's his only touch, but it was cool.
Who's your out of nowhere?
I put Daniel Bellinger because I didn't have a good one. I just love the way they used him.
Oh, right. Okay, I put Cameron Dicker.
That's a great one, yeah.
The Eagles need a kicker this week. Apparently, all they talked about on the broadcast was how Nick Sirianni showed the players Dicker making the kick against Oklahoma when he's a freshman at Texas. And like that, he was like, that's why we believe in this guy. And then he made the game-winning kick against the Cardinals. And remember, the Cardinals quarterback is Oklahoma alum Kyler Murray, and the Eagles quarterback's Oklahoma-ish alum Jalen Hurts. I just thought it was all funny that Dicker did it in a game where those two were facing off. And he looked like an NFL kicker who belongs. And I just want to remind everyone, Justin Tucker was a undrafted kicker out of Texas.
So. That was your comp.
Yep.
Thank you. Who's your start at the Rook?
Can you tell me yours? I realized I didn't put one down.
Oh, of course. The one I asked you for, too.
I've written one down, and I just... I want to hear yours first about myself.
Yeah, I think it's funny because I wrote one down. I'm like, I'm going to have to think of a better one than this one. But this is who I stuck with. I didn't get anyone else. Cole Turner. I called my shot last Thursday. Let's do it again. And with, like, Washington's missing like a bunch of the pass catchers, or they're just banged up. So I just want to see some more looks. I think he had a couple targets last week. You know, Carson Wentz got the bum shoulder. Got to keep it short and sweet to Cole Turner. I think that would be fun. I just want to see more Cole Turner.
That would be fun. Just that team. The only way for the Commanders to be more fun is to play, or that makes it sound like they are fun. To be fun in general is to play rookies.
I assume tonight's going to be another terrible Thursday Night Football game.
But Brian Robinson started.
I know, that's so cool. I just like just talk about Brian Robinson. That's all I want to hear. By the way, I didn't mention him anywhere. I think he had like 9 carries for 22 yards. Not much to write home about. But like I thought he looked pretty decent. I thought he looked pretty decent, especially for a guy who was coming off getting fucking shot a month ago. He looked like a Hall of Fame football player. Yeah, twice.
Okay, my start the rook is based solely off of what was said about Vikings linebacker Brian Asimov.
Oh yeah, 6 snaps.
Like that he is just a special teams god in terms of effort. And they don't they like he hasn't played very much defense this season.
Yep.
And I just like to see him, because we both know he's like a rocket launcher, just effort and athleticism downhill, super raw, but, and that's translating to special teams, a classic high-end Rob Paul special teams linebacker. But if you're seeing that on special teams, get him in there for a couple reps on defense.
I think he had 6 snaps on defense this week, and you notice him in the 6 snaps. So yeah, that's actually a really good one. That's a good one.
Thank you. I just like, I don't know. Get him out there for... Just let him blitz, honestly.
That'd be actually fun.
All right. Time to go watch the Space Cadets take down Temple Tough in honor of Matt Rhule getting fired.